Morning.
Morning.
It's a little loud. Huh? This morning I'm going to be touching on the meaning of idolatry, but specifically about the idol itself, the effects that it can have on our everyday lives and our spiritual journey. We'll be comparing and contrasting the way the world is constantly trying to influence the way our lives and how the Bible says we should be living. What is idolatry? Idolatry. The definition of idolatry is the worship of idols or the extreme admiration, love, or reverence for something or someone. Some phrases that are commonly used today that can be considered idolizing yourself: believe in yourself, trust your heart, do what makes you happy, and you do you. The Bible teaches us to put our faith in God and not in ourselves or man. You hear things similar to these phrases on social media platforms such as Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. These influencers of the world make a living creating videos of themselves for everyone to see. They record almost every minute of their lives to show the world how great their lives are, how much money they have, their expensive cars, fancy clothes, extravagant vacations. These influencers are making themselves their own idols and are making the world their idol. So what does the Bible have to say about idolizing self? The first phrase we'll analyze is believe in yourself, trust your heart. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Proverbs 28:26. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered. Isaiah 2:22. Stop regarding man in whose nostrils is breath, for of what account is he? These passages show us a relationship of trust with God. We are to rely on his wisdom instead of human reasoning. True guidance comes from surrendering yourself to him. Psalm 118:8-9. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in people. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in noblemen. Psalm 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 62:8. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour our hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Jeremiah 17:5. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. This is exactly what the worldly man and these influencers are doing. They're trusting in their flesh, be it their physical strength, looks, or worldly knowledge, to help them prosper according to the world's standards. Strength fails and beauty fades. As Proverbs 31:30 puts it, charm is deceitful and beauty fades, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? Jeremiah 17 shows us the importance of trusting in God over human understanding, the consequences of sin and a lying heart. Believing in ourselves and trusting our hearts can bring us to the deepest pits of depression. When we put all our faith in ourselves, we will always end up disappointed. We know that thoughts lead to actions and actions have consequences. This is where following our hearts can lead us. Love yourself and put yourself first is another phrase used to idolize. You hear people say, love yourself and put yourself first. It's okay to love yourself. We do that naturally, but it becomes an issue when you put your own comfort, your own needs, and happiness above others, especially when these things are above your relationship with God. Self-love can quickly turn into arrogance. Arrogance. The definition of arrogance is the quality of having an exaggerated sense of one's importance and abilities. What does the Bible have to say about arrogance? Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride, arrogance, an evil lifestyle, and perverted speech I hate. God hates arrogance. Proverbs 27:2. Let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. Basically, don't brag about yourself. It makes you look like a fool to others. 1 Samuel 2:3. Do not go on boasting so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. If you could turn to Luke 18, and we're going to go through verses 9 through 14. Luke 18, 9 through 14. Luke 18, 9 through 14. He, Jesus, also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and began praying this in regard to himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like the other people, swindlers, crooked, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to raise his eyes toward heaven, but was beating his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other one, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So this story in Luke shows us the importance of humility of the tax collector before God. The Pharisee brags about the righteousness, while the tax collector humbly acknowledges his sins and seeks mercy. Jesus concludes that the tax collector, rather than the Pharisee, went home justified before God. This teaches us that those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This story shows us the need for self-awareness and humility in our relationship with God. If you could turn to Matthew 22, and we're going to read through 37 through 40. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. Matthew 22, 37, 40. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets. So what is meant by you shall love your neighbor as yourself? What is meant by, in Leviticus 19:18, you shall not take vengeance nor hold any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is basically saying that you should treat others with the same kindness and respect that you would want someone to respect you. This encourages believers to demonstrate love in their actions and interactions. with others regardless of their differences. Instead of worrying about loving ourselves, we should focus on loving others. Romans 13:8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for the one who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. This is the opposite of what we see today. We commonly hear things like, what's in it for me? Why should I bother with them when they do nothing for me in return? If they can't make time for me and my family, why should I make time for them? The common denominator in all these things is me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. There is no me in what Jesus did for us. He did it all, and we can do nothing to earn it or deserve it. We are here. We are to live our lives as reflections of Christ. Of Christ. Me should never be part of the equation. If you could turn to John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. Turn to Philippians 2, and we're going to read through verse 5 through 8. Philippians 2:5-8. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made into the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death on a cross. This passage emphasizes the humility and obedience of Christ, serving as a model for believers. Paul tells the Philippians to have the same attitude as Christ did. Christ never bragged about his equality with God. Instead, Christ humbled himself and became a servant. Christ showed the amount of love and commitment he had for man by dying on the cross. Another phrase that we hear is, do what makes you happy. Do what makes you happy, or you do you. There is nothing wrong with being happy, but when we are looking for happiness apart from God, when we are doing things that go against the Bible in order to try and find what makes us happy or to fill a void in our hearts, that is when it becomes sinful. Nothing of this world will give you true happiness. It may feel like it at the time, but it's not true happiness. Turn to 1 John 2, and we're going to read verses 15 through 17. 1 John 2, First John 2, 15 through 17. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but it's from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust. But the one who does the will of God continues to live forever. Galatians 5:17. For the desire of the flesh is against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, in order to keep you from doing whatever you want. Matthew 16:26. For what good will it do a person if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? Or what will a person give in exchange for his soul? When we try to find happiness in the world, we always come up short. Anything can be fun or enjoyable for a while, but when it's apart from the will of God, that happiness never lasts. As Christians, we feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When we participate in things of the world, that are of the world, nothing is ever enough. We continually try to find the next big thing. If we could just do this, or if I could just have that, and we may get this or do that, and it may even get us temporary joy, but it doesn't last. Let's listen to the familiar words of Solomon. Turn to Ecclesiastes 1. We're going to read through verses 2 through 14. Ecclesiastes 1, 2 through 14. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the stream comes from, there they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye never has enough of seeing, nor the ear its filling of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new? It was here already, long ago. It was here before our time. No one remembers the former generations, and even those yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow them. I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I applied my mind to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under the heavens. What a heavy burden God has laid on mankind. I've seen all the things that are done under the sun, all of them meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Another common phrase we hear that's used today is, this is my truth. So what is truth? The definition of truth is the quality or state of being true in accordance with fact or reality. Truth is absolute, unchanging, and universal, reflecting God's loyalty and faithfulness. The phrase, my truth, often implies that personal experiences and beliefs shape our understanding of truth. However, this can lead us to the idea that truth is subjective and relative. That somehow truth can change. The Bible presents truth as absolute, grounded in God's character and teachings. John 17:17. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. 1 John 1:8. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. 1 John 4:6. We are from God. The one who knows God listens to us. The one who is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Embracing God's truth is essential for spiritual growth. As Christians, we are to seek and adhere to the truth that we find in Scripture. Psalm 119:60. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. This passage shows us how God's unchanging truth provides us a stable base of faith for faith, practice, and assurance for Christians that God's promises are reliable and that His love is endless. We live in an age where people are totally consumed with themselves. The most significant idol of the day is our sinful hearts. The phrases, believe in yourself, trust your heart, love yourself, do what makes you happy, and this is my truth, are just a few of the phrases we touched on today. These phrases come directly from the Antichrist. They contradict the words of Jesus, who laid down His life for us. The motto of the Church of Satan: do what thou wilt. I've heard of this phrase before, do what thou wilt, but I never really knew the origin of the phrase. After looking into it, I learned that it's actually the motto of the Satanic Church. I just like saying the Satanic Church, but that's what they call it. This motto is associated with Aleister Crowley, the founder of Thelema philosophy. Thelema philosophy emphasizes individual freedom and self-actualization. This philosophy suggests that one should pursue their true desire without external constraints, which completely contradicts what the Word of God has to say. We are called to live in this world, but not to be of this world. So don't do the things the people of this world do. Be an example. Be a light to others. Be patient. It's all according to His purpose, done by following His word and avoiding the pitfalls of this lost and dying world. That's all I have for this morning. If we could close. Father, thank you for this opportunity. I pray that what you allowed me to teach today, that it impacts and sticks and allows people to use this in their everyday lives to be lights. Please watch over us as we leave. Continue to have your hand in healing Ed and Kathy as they recover. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.